We are going to learn the Sikha in Parshas Kisisa, Sikha Beis and Chelik Yer Aleph, which is on the Pasuk, immediately following after the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, when Moshe Rabbeinu bows down to the Eibishter after he hears the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. Let's begin inside. Al HaPasuk Vayikad Moshe, Vayimahir Moshe, Vayikad Arzo Vayishtochu. Maitik Rashi HaTevis Vayimahir Moshe, Umafarish. So Rashi quotes from the Pasuk the two words Vayamar Moshe, and he explains as follows. Kishara Moshe Shechinah Iveres. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Shechinah passing. B'shama Koyla Kriya. And he heard the sound of the proclamation of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. Miyad Vayishtochu. Immediately Moshe Rabbeinu bows. Chayre Mokim Loimar. So now what's the pshat of this Rashi? What exactly is Rashi coming to clarify with his Pirish? Whatever Rashi says is always coming to answer a question. Which question is Rashi coming to answer? Sh'Rashi bo l'taretz b'pirushoy. Ke'en kushis ha-gemara. Rashi is answering the same question that the Gemara asks, or similar to what the Gemara asks. Ma'ro Moshe. The Gemara's question is, what did Moshe Rabbeinu see that prompted him to bow down? Shagaram Loyle Shtachvis. Taritz Shtachve al Sharo Shchina Iveres Vishoma Koyla Kriya. Moshe Rabbeinu bowed when he sees the Shchina passing and he hears the proclamation of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rashi is just simply coming to explain what caused Moshe Rabbeinu to bow. Avol B'emes I Efshaloy Makein. It's impossible to say that the question of Rashi is similar to the Gemara's question, and that's what Rashi is coming to clarify. Ki, and the Rebbe gives the following reasons. Aleph, number one, b'pshute shom mikra, le'koshem le'chatchil alam mishtachve. This is not a question b'chlal. The entire question of what did Moshe Rabbeinu see, and he bowed, is not a question. Sha'ar elef neizel ha'postik v'yikad ha'om v'yishtachavu in Parshas Boy, where the Torah says that the Yidin bowed, Pirish Rashi, so there Rashi already explained, al psura sagulachulu, that the Yidin bowed when they heard the good news of the fact that they're going to be redeemed. Which means, hainu, shal psuras tevis tzarech lahoydis. For good news you have to thank the Eibishter, which includes also bowing, a way of showing, expressing your gratitude to the Eibishter on the good news. Ubaifa shal kida vishtachvo, imkein, gam benidin didon sheshoma Moshe yud gimel midas harachamim. So here as well, Moshe Rabbeinu heard Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, which includes very good news that the Eibishter forgives Yidden and the Eibishter loves Yidden and the mercy that he has. Tzarech li seido l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleihem al kulam. He has to bow and thank the Eibishter for all of the 13 of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. So therefore, Rashi is not addressing the question of what prompted Moshe to bow. It's obvious. We see already before that Yidden bow for good news, and the same would be here as well. So now, based on this, on the other hand, this brings up the following questions. From where does Rashi know this new idea here? That Moshe Rabbeinu bows not because of the good news, not as a response to the good news, but when he sees the Shekhinah passing and he hears the sound of the proclamation, that causes him to bow. Which is not because of the good news. Dilme hishtachave rak al absurdus tayves shoshama. Perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu did bow only for the good news and not, like Rashi explains, because he saw the Shechinah passing and so on. Vim yeshne eze hechrich shalei hishtachave al absurdus tayves. If for some reason over here, this case is different. Although Moshe Rabbeinu here is incredibly good news in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, nevertheless, for some reason here, Moshe Rabbeinu does not bow for that reason. So this itself is not understood. Why take is it that over here he doesn't bow for the Besura Teva? So if Rashi has some reason that he sees in the Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu did not bow for that reason, but why didn't he? Gimel, havelei l'Rashi l'hatik min ha-kosov, sh'moshe ha-yemoida al-psura teva. Sorry. Skip the page. Let's go back. Gimel, havelei l'Rashi l'hatik min ha-kosov, ha-teva is v'yikoid arzo v'yishtochu. Rashi should have quoted the words from the Pasuk that he's coming to explain, that Moshe Rabbeinu bows. And Rashi's coming to explain what prompted him to bow. As we know, the words that Rashi quotes from the Pasuk is very significant to understanding what is the question that Rashi is coming to address. So if over here Rashi is coming to address the question of the Gemara, why did Moshe Rabbeinu bow? So Rashi should have brought those words to the Pasuk. V'loi v'yamayr Moshe. And not to quote from the Pasuk the words v'yamayr Moshe. Shaharei lefikas al kadaita chanal. According to what we thought to explain here, alei en kushiyosei lo meshtachve. Rashi is only coming to explain why he bowed. Dalid, another detail in the words of Rashi, Rashi madgish miyad vayishtachu, that Moshe Rabbeinu bowed immediately. Why is that significant here? If the only thing Rashi is coming to explain is why he bowed, why is Rashi stressing the fact that he immediately bowed? Val pizeh. So based on all of this, tzarech loyma, we have to say, sherashi boletaretz kushye hamisoyreres bahateves vayimar Moshe. Rashi is coming to answer a question that comes up in the two words that he brings from the Pasuk, Vayamar Moshe, not in the words of Vayikoid Arza Vayishtachu that Rashi doesn't quote in his Dibra Maschel. Vihi, so then what is the question of Rashi, if Rashi quotes those two words? Lama Mir Moshe Leshtachvois. What was the haste? What was the hurry that Moshe Rabbeinu bowed immediately? That's what Rashi is coming to explain. Something had to have happened that prompted Moshe Rabbeinu not only to bow, but to bow immediately. What is that? And on that Rashi answers, he saw the Shechinah passing, which would mean in the simple pshat, Hainu Shehi Oimedes Laver, that the Eibishter is already passing and he's going to leave. V'shama Koyla Kriya. And he heard the proclamation of the Yud Gimel Midas Arachmim. Hainu Shekvar Shama Koyla Kriya. He already heard all of the Yud Gimel Midas Arachmim after Hashem completed saying all the Yud Gimel Midas Arachmim. And now the Shechinah is passing and leaving. So lechein ishtachve miyad b'mihiros, he bowed immediately, quickly, kdei sheloi la'achir me l'shtachve selohedus l'akadosh baruch hu. Not to lose the chance to bow and thank the Eibishter immediately after the Eibishter finished saying the Yud Gimel Midas Arachamim, to bow still in the presence of the Eibishter. So that would be a more plausible pshat in Rashi, that he's explaining the words Vayamar Moshe, which he brings from the Pasuk, what is the hurry that Moshe Rabbeinu bows immediately. Amnam, however, the Rebbe says, Gam Pirish Zet Sarach Lahav. In this Pshat in Rashi, which is the correct Pshat, Rashi is coming to address the words Vayamayir Moshe, there still are the following difficulties. Aleph, number one, May Kore Poshet Lomer Mir Moshe. It's simple and obvious to us to understand why Moshe Rabbeinu, in a haste, bowed down to the Eibishter. Va'av Fila Be'im Hoyerak Al Absurda Teva. Even if we'll keep it to the simple pshat of the pasuk, similar to what we find by the Yidden of Mitzrayim, that they bow down for good news, even if over here Rashi would keep it to the simple pshat and not comment at all, and Moshe Rabbeinu bowed for the good news that he heard in Yud Gimel Midas Arachamim, it would be self-understood why Moshe Rabbeinu bowed in a haste. Ki bevadai, because definitely, kol maisav b'avedas Hashem, hoyu b'zrizas g'dayla. Everything that Moshe Rabbeinu did was with a great zrizas. This is not something that's unusual, that's different than the regular. This is expected, that Moshe Rabbeinu does things bezrizos. Well, derech b'shanem b'Avram. It says by Avram, when Avram Avinu has an opportunity to do a mitzvah, vayemayir, rotz, vayemayir, vayashkem, when he's serving the malachim, the guests that come to him, he's running in a hurry, when he has to get up in the morning to go to the Akedas Yitzchak, vayashkem, he gets up in his earliest opportunity to go. So the same would apply to Moshe. Ubefrat Moshe, and more specifically, we find regarding Moshe himself, la'achar shal shenis rashol nena sheinish misa. Moshe Rabbeinu himself, because in one case he was not doing things as quickly as he should have, in a mitzvah he was almost killed, misa, einish of misa for that reason. This is in the story when Moshe Rabbeinu was on his way to Mitzrayim, and he had a son with him that he didn't do the bris milah yet, and he came into the hotel and he tended to his needs before he did the bris, and right then a snake came and was swallowing him and almost killed him because he didn't do the mitzvah immediately. So Moshe Rabbeinu himself knows good and well that a mitzvah should be done immediately at the first opportunity that you have. So there's no wonder that Moshe Rabbeinu bowed down immediately, Vayamayir Moshe. What's the question that on the Pasuk when it says Vayamayir Moshe? Another question, Haseidir Hu Shenishma Koil. What's the order of how this happens? First, the sound of the proclamation that the Eibishter says, Yud Gimel Midas Arachmim, V'achar Kach Iveres. And then the Shechinah passes. Vim kein, have a lila lema hafuch. Lehepech. Rashi should have said the order, the opposite, the way he says it. Kishashama koila kriya. The first thing is Moshe Rabbeinu hears the sound of the proclamation of the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim. V'achakach rosh shchina yveres. And only following that, the shchina passes and leaves. Why does Rashi say it the opposite order? That first, Moshe Rabbeinu is raw shchina yveres. He saw the shchina passing. And after that, Rashi says that he hears the sound of the proclamation. How does that make sense? Another shayla gimel, eichav shaloimar, how bechlal is it possible to say, shera Moshe shchina chulu, that Moshe Rabbeinu saw the shchina. V'harei amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu lefnei zeh, the Eibishter tells him clearly earlier on, leituchal liris ponegayme. V'hoye ba'avoyer kvaydi, and the Eibishter says, when I will pass, v'sakoisi kapi alecha ad avri, the Eibishter says, I will cover with my hands that you won't be able to see me. V'reisa sachayrai, and you will only see me from behind, but upon I lo yero, and you will not see me in my face. So Moshe Rabbeinu is being told clearly that he won't see the Shechina. Harei Shemoshe ra'as Shechina rak lachrei she'avra v'rak achoyrai. Moshe Rabbeinu is two things. First of all, he only saw the Shechina after Hashem passes, and only from behind. V'gamze, this itself Rashi already clarified before, rak hakesher shel tefillin. What does it mean, achoyrai? He only saw the kesher of the tefillin of the Eibishter. V'loi k'shoyis ha'shchina yveres lefonov. But not when the Shechina was passing. Then the Eibishter covers his face that he's not able to see. So how do we say over here that ro Moshe shchina yveres, that Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Shechina passing? Dalad, another difficulty here is, havalele meima v'shoma hakriya. Moshe Rabbeinu heard the proclamation of the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim. That Moshe Rabbeinu heard the sound of the proclamation. It's an extra word, and what is it saying? Hey, the fifth question. Rashi Kosev miyad vayishtochu. Immediately Moshe Rabbeinu bows. Ha'elifnei vayishtochu ha'isa kida. Before the vayishtochu, it says kida. We'll see soon, the Rebbe will bring the exact pshat of what kida means. But kida is a stage before hishtachava. That's first, and then vayishtochu. Vim kein, havalele meima, Rashi should have said, biyad, vayikoid arza, vayishtochu. Rashi should have went through the stages. First, vayikoid, and then vayishtochu. Or, oi, miyad vayikoid. Immediately vayikoid, which is the beginning, and then you understand that whatever else followed came afterwards. But why is Rashi skipping the first stage that is mentioned clearly in the pasuk? So the Rebbe gives us here a new, completely new, revolutionary approach of how to teach what the Chiddush of Rashi over here is. Ein loima. As we said before, we can't say Shashailas Rashi hilama mir Moshe. That Rashi is bothered by the fact that this is unusual for Moshe Rabbeinu to do this in a haste and to bow. That's not the question. Ki kanal muvan shemoshe asa. Call in Yonah B'Zrizus. As we said before, it's obvious that Moshe Rabbeinu does everything with Zrizus. So that's not the question of Rashi. Why? So it's self-understood that this, like everything else, was also done with Zrizus. Elo rather, the kosha leila Rashi. Rashi's question is adarab, on the contrary. If it's so obvious and it's expected that Moshe Rabbeinu does things with Zrizus, like any other mitzvah, why would Moshe Rabbeinu, why would the Torah have to spell out that Moshe Rabbeinu did it with Zrizus? It's so obvious. It's obvious that Moshe Rabbeinu bowed down with Zrizus. Why is the Torah specifying and saying, Vayamayim Moshe, as if there was something unique that happened here, extraordinary, that Moshe Rabbeinu bowed down as it is. It's self-understood. In Hara 18, the Rebbe says there are places where the Torah spells out certain details, even though it could be self-understood. But nevertheless, Rashi is giving you a reason if you're able to explain that there's something that the Torah is teaching you here that you would not understand on your own, so then, of course, it's better to give an explanation for it. So therefore, Rashi is wondering, is there a reason here why the Torah has to specifically spell out that Moshe Rabbeinu bowed down b'mehiros quickly? L'chaim, mefarish Rashi. So now, if you pay attention to what Rashi is saying, what Rashi is really telling us over here is completely different thing. The timing of when this Hishtachava took place. When it says that Moshe Rabbeinu bowed, it's not like it would sound like from the order of the psukim that after Moshe Rabbeinu heard the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim, then he bowed, which would be a hidah ala basura teiva. Bowing after he hears the good news and everything that was said in the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim, so then as a response to that, he's thanking and bowing to the Eibishter. This is what it would seem like from the order in the pasuk. The pasuk here says that he bowed after it tells us what the Yud Gimel and the Sarachmim were that Hashem said to him. Rather, Elo Shemir v'Ishtachav alifnei yadibor, that really Moshe Rabbeinu bowed down even before the Eibishter began speaking. As soon as Moshe Rabbeinu begins and sees that the Shechina begins to pass, and as soon as he hears the sound of the proclamation at its very beginning, when the Eibishter comes to pass, right at the beginning, and as soon as the sound of the proclamation begins, immediately, as soon as he hears the voice, the sound of the proclamation, before he even had a chance to hear the actual proclamation of the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim itself, immediately he bowed. That's what Rashi is saying. As soon as he heard right at the beginning, when the Eibishter comes, begins to pass. Not when the Eibishter is about to leave on the way out and he wants to chaparayin and bow down still in the presence of the Eibishter. On the contrary, what Rashi is saying is, in the order of the words of Rashi, when Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Shechina coming to pass, and he hears then the Koyla Kriya, that's when he bows down immediately, even before the Eibishter speaks. That's the Chiddush of the Vayamayir Moshe. Makdim Rashi Kishara Shechina Iveres. Rashi says first that he sees the Shechina passing, even though L'chayre it happens at the same time. When the Shechina comes, arrives to pass, and begins saying Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim, L'chayre the Koil, and the Eibishter coming, comes at the same time. This will explain what taka happened, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu immediately bowed down, L'fnei Shara Amiris. Avshule Metzinu, why Moshe Rabbeinu over here bowed down before, Avshule Metzinu She'ishtachve Moshe L'fnei Shara Amiris. Although we don't find anywhere else that Moshe Rabbeinu ever bowed down before, as the Eibishter comes to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu right at the beginning that Moshe Rabbeinu should bow down, we never find such a thing. The answer is ki kriyas v'koil zeh ha'yoyachid b'minoi. Here the Eibishter calls out to Moshe, and the sound that Moshe Rabbeinu heard was unique, was different than any other time Moshe Rabbeinu hears the Eibishter speaking to him. Shchinoi veres. Over here the Shchina comes, the Eibishter appears to Moshe Rabbeinu and passes. Kiyum bakashosai. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw this as a fulfillment of his request. Hareini nos kvedecha, show me your glory. And the Shechina appears and is passing. So right at the beginning, when he saw the fulfillment of his request, Moshe Rabbeinu immediately bows down. Upashut. And also it's obvious. Kesheroyim es hamelech. When you see the king, tzrichim lechshtachves lefonov. Immediately when the king appears, you have to bow down. Takef. Immediately. Right at the beginning when you see him. You don't bow down when he's about to leave. You bow down right at the beginning when the king arrives. So therefore Rashi is makdim the fact that Rosh Chinoi Veres, because that was the main reason that caused Moshe Rabbeinu to bow down immediately. So Rashi over here is telling us, different than we would think in the simple pshat and the order of the psukim, that Moshe Rabbeinu bowed down afterwards, only when he heard the entire Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim. Moshe Rabbeinu really bowed down before. And as the Rebbe explains in Ara 20, the only reason the Torah doesn't write about this before is because it doesn't want to interrupt the middle of the story. The Eibishter comes and he begins speaking and it says what he spoke, and then the Torah comes back to tell you that really Moshe Rabbeinu had already bowed down before. Vayimaher Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu in a haste, in a hurry, bowed down already before. The Torah just didn't want to interrupt, but really it's going back earlier. So now, the Rebbe returns to what he mentioned earlier. How about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu heard good news in the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim? Do we see that he bowed down or thanked the Eibishter for those words and the good news that he heard after the fact? Like the Rebbe brings before, that the Yidden thanked the Eibishter when they hear good news, and obviously Moshe Rabbeinu should thank the Eibishter for that as well. What about that? regarding bowing down and thanking the Eibishter, that should be after you hear the good news. The pasuk doesn't specify regarding that. The pasuk doesn't elaborate. Ki muvan ma'atzmai, itself understood, shemayisha haya mayid al psura teiva. He definitely thanked on the good news. Ulechein bekama vekama mikrois shetoichnam psura teiva shenizbaser. There are many other psukim where there are good news that Moshe Rabbeinu hears. Lo nesparashe shtachva. The Torah doesn't specify that Moshe Rabbeinu bowed down and thanked the Eibishter, like we see that the Yidden bowed down and thanked the Eibishter. And he definitely did. He definitely thanked the Eibishter for the good news, but the Torah doesn't specify. It's obvious. Here, the chiddush that the Torah is coming to say is that he bowed down beforehand. That's something unique. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu bowed down immediately as the Shekhinah begins to pass, because he saw it as a fulfillment for his promise, and he sees the king appearing, and you bow down immediately, that additional ishtachava that happens before, that's what the Torah comes to be mechadish here. That's the pshat in the Vayim Maher Moshe, that the Torah spells out that Moshe Rabbeinu immediately bowed down. In the Ha'ara, that Rebbe says another pshat, that it's possible to say that because Moshe Rabbeinu already bowed down once, so it's not necessary to bow down again to thank the Eibishter because he already bowed down. Or the Rebbe says it's possible that he bowed down and remained in that position until after the Eibishter said that all the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim, so therefore he continued to be in that position even after he heard, also expressing his thanks and gratitude to the Eibishter on the good news. So now the Rebbe goes back to the question that he asked before, how is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Shekhinah? Didn't the Eibishter tell him that if when I pass, I will cover you and you won't be able to see? That the Eibishter says, I will cover you. And so what happened over here that all of a sudden we say that Moshe Rabbeinu sees the appearance of the Eibishter and he bows? Al pi, and now based on what we said before, the pshat of the Shekhinah passing means, it doesn't mean when the Shekhinah is passing or as the Shekhinah is passing and leaving. It means right at the beginning, when the Shekhinah arrives to pass. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu sees the appearance of the Eibishter. Yashlavaye, we could explain, Ech Eichav Shaloima Shero Moshe Shekhinah. How is it possible to say that Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Shekhinah? HaKosov Medayik, before when the Torah says to Moshe Rabbeinu that he will not be able to see. There the Pasuk is very precise in its wording and it says, V'hoye ba'avor kvaydi, when my glory passes, then you won't see me. Ukepirish Rashi kesha e'avoy lifonecha, when I'm passing and I am in front of you. Which means v'hainu de be'ez sho'over, during the time when I pass in front of you, then you will not have the ability to look and see me. Oz ein reshus yecholos lirois. Ma'she'ein kim betchilas bo yashchineh efshe lirois. As soon as the Shekhinah arrives, the initial arrival of the Shekhinah and the glance at the arrival of the Shekhinah, that Moshe Rabbeinu will have the ability to see. It's only when the Shekhinah is passing through, while it's passing through, then Moshe Rabbeinu cannot look at the Shekhinah. But at the arrival of the Shekhinah, that Moshe Rabbeinu has the ability to see. It's a subtle distinction, but the Rebbe points out that you see it in the difference in the precise wording of the Pasuk. Another detail. It says, V'leisucha liris is pona, you won't be able to see. Which sounds like in no circumstances does Moshe Rabbeinu have the ability to see the Eibishter's face, whether when he arrives, whether when he's passing. It's not a contradiction to the fact that the Eibishter tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't see my face. He sees the Shekhinah when it begins to pass. Oiveres means when it begins to pass. V'sulay, not more than that. That's not a direct face-to-face seeing that Moshe Rabbeinu could look directly at the Shekhinah and see the Shekhinah face-to-face. When he sees the Shekhinah beginning to pass, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Shekhinah, but not later when the Shekhinah is already in front of him to be able to see him face-to-face. Gam, another detail that Rebbe adds to this, V'reisa sachoyroi, when the Pasuk says, V'reisa esachoyroi hu yoyser mizeh, when Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Shekhinah from behind, we must say that that sight that Moshe Rabbeinu had the permission to be able to see achoyroi is actually even greater than what Moshe Rabbeinu saw at the beginning when the Shekhinah came to pass. K'demochach mi pashtus haksuvim, it's understood and it's clear from the pashtu the pasuk, she'vereisa sachayrai hayechidush u'miloi bakashasai la'achre gemar kriyas yudgil midas harachmim v'cholo. After the Eibishter finishes saying the Yidgil Midas Harachmim, and now the Eibishter allows Moshe Rabbeinu to see the Shechina from behind, to see the Kesher Shel Tefillin, and that's considered to be the fulfillment of what of Moshe Rabbeinu's request. So if that happened afterwards, number one, and number two, that's considered to be the fulfillment of his request, that must be a greater vision that Moshe Rabbeinu saw than seeing the Shechina right at the beginning when it came to pass, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the beginning, the appearance of the Shechina. So the Rebbe clarifies, what happens when the Shechina arrives right at the beginning and Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Shechina? Ki'im, all that Moshe Rabbeinu sees is not looking and gazing at the Shechina face to face. Rather, what he sees is Riyah Klolis, a glance, a general glance to see the arrival of the Shechina. K'sheroh Moshe Shechina Iveres b'mabat Rishay. When Moshe Rabbeinu sees the appearance of the Shechina at a first glance. Take it from Yad K'sheroh Shechina ba. As soon as he sees the arrival of the Shechina, take it from Yad Ashtachava. Immediately Moshe Rabbeinu bows down. And after that, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't see anything else until when the Shechina passes, and then Moshe Rabbeinu could see and gaze and see the Shechina from behind the Kesher Shel Tefillin. So therefore, the Rebbe over here explains that there's sort of three stages to what happens over here. When the Shechina arrives, and Moshe Rabbeinu glances at the Shechina just at its arrival, and then he immediately bows. While the Shechina is passing, Moshe Rabbeinu's face is being covered, and he's not able to see the Shechina. And then as the Shechina passes and is about to leave, then v'reisa asachayrai. Moshe Rabbeinu is able to see the Kesher Shel Tefillin of the Eibishter from behind. Now based on this, we could add yet another detail here regarding the Vayimahir Moshe. What is the meaning of Moshe Rabbeinu bowing in a haste? Sha'av she'ika kavanas akasa b'vayim ma'ayim Moshe ilahagid sh'moshe eshtachave koydin l'dibur HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we explained there, the ikka chiddush of Rashi is to say the timing of when Moshe Rabbeinu bowed. That although in the pasuk it says the after you give him the sarachim that he bowed, but really what the pasuk means to say when it writes v'vayim ma'ayim Moshe is that he bowed already before. But hine, besides that, klula b'zeh gam mehiris kepshuta. Included in what happened over here, in Moshe Rabbeinu bowing, Vayamayim Moshe could also be interpreted literally that the actual act of the bowing itself happened in a hasteful manner. She'eshtachave b'mehiras gedayla. U'mehiras kazu. And this is a kind of bowing with a haste. She'bel adi akasav lo yinu yedem maydaysa. Without the pasuk clarifying and saying these two words, we would have not known. Af, although we already said before, she'meisha asa kolonyon of Bezriz's canal. Moshe Rabbeinu did all mitzvahs and whatever was required of him. Moshe did it with a tremendous zehirus, zrizus that is. But over here, Moshe Rabbeinu bowed down with an additional zrizus, which is unusual because of what appeared in front of him. What does this mean? Move on, it's understood. She'ein et daime, oifin v'dargis ha'ashtachavo le'melech, be'ez sh'royim Moshe k'moshe hu. You can't compare bowing down to a king when he himself, as he is alone, comes and appears to you in front of you, and then a person bows in that presence. Legabe habitul kisheroi moisa mischapis or misalim but musacheres. Bowing down to the king when he's dressed up or he's hidden or he's concealed from you, and the presence of the Shechina is there, but it's not a direct revelation. Or another instance. When there's the presence of the Shechina, but you don't have that vision, you can't see. You just have the awareness that he's here. So over here, the fact that the Shechina came, that Vayaver Hashem, the Eibishter came, that's an appearance of the Eibishter himself. That's something much greater. Take from Yad Sharam Moshe Sashchina Kamoshe He. Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Shechina as he is himself, without any garments. The Shechina appears. Mir Kaidim Gemara Avarel Ishtachvois. Moshe Rabbeinu bows in a tremendous haste, B'darga Chinailis. He bows down. The act of bowing was with a tremendous, he threw himself to the ground. He bowed down in tremendous haste. Trembling in front of the presence of the king himself, he threw himself to the ground. Neisiv al zrizus regila, even more than the regular zrizus that Moshe Rabbeinu had in any other mitzvah, in any other situation, standing right in the presence of the king, kamayshihi, without any garments being revealed to you, causes Moshe Rabbeinu to throw himself to the ground immediately with an unusual zrizus. So the Vayamar Moshe is something that's unusual even as far as the act of bowing more than the regular zehira, zrizos that is, in other situations. So based on this last point, Yeshlevaya Pirish Rashi Miyad Vayishtochu, that Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu immediately bowed, V'loi Miyad Vayikoid. Rashi does not say that immediately Vayikoid, he skips that step, Artsav, and then Vayishtochu. What's the pshat? So here the Rebbe will tell us the two different interpretations for Vayikoid. Ala Posik, Vayiktu, Vayishtachavu, earlier on in Parshas Miketz, where it mentions this the first time, Rashi explains, what does Vayikoid mean? Pirishashi kido kfifas kodkoid, bowing your head. Shtachavo mishtateach lares, when the person fully bows to the ground and spreads himself out on the ground. Pishut yodayim viraglayim, spread out on the ground with his hands and feet. Now, Rebbe says, this is Rashi's pshat to vayikoid. The vayikoid is when you bow your head, and then shtachavo, when the person spreads out completely on the ground. Loi kipirishatagam, this is not like the pshat of the Targum, which says vikoru. Vikoru means, and they kneeled. The kido pirusha shekereya al birkov, that you kneel on your knees, that first the person gets down on his knees, and then he spreads himself out on the ground. Ulufize, now according to this, af she'ef shaliyah is kfifas kotkoid, kido, b'liyish tachavo, it is possible, of course, for a person to bow his head without completely bowing to the ground. E'ef shaliyah is tachavo, it's impossible to bow and completely spread yourself out to the ground without bending down your head first. When a person bows to the ground, so first his head comes down and then the rest of his body is spread out on the ground. So according to Rashi, the vayikaid is sort of a necessary part of the hishtachava. It's just the beginning of the act of the hishtachava. Aval, however, according to the Targum's pshat, which is a person first kneels on his knees and then he bows to the ground, efshodes mebli kriyas birkayim, it is possible for a person to throw himself to the ground without first kneeling on his knees. So those are two stages that one doesn't force the other. You could kneel without bowing, you could bow without kneeling. Those are two separate things. So now getting back to the pshat and the pasuk here, according to Rashi, al pizeh, move on. So now we can understand. Shebemakim shenem rushneim, where the Torah spells out both. Or beparshasenu, vayikoid vayishtochu, that Moshe Rabbeinu both vayikoid and vayishtochu. Ein akavona. So according to Rashi, which holds that the pshat of vayikoid is that you bend your head down. Ein akavona lo idea ala kida b'toyrascholle shalishtachava. It's not two stages. The kida is not the first stage. And then the hishtachava is a second stage. The ma'akamashmala. Why would the Torah have to say both stages? Harei e'ef shebaifin acher. It's not pshat that the hishtachava could be done either in two stages or it could be done without these two stages. And the Torah is saying that it happened in two stages. According to the Targum, that's true. It could happen without two stages. You could throw yourself to the ground without kneeling. Or it could happen in two stages. You kneel first and then you go completely down to the ground. But according to Rashi, if you bowed, so then definitely you bent your head. It's not necessary to spell it out. Elo, rather, ki'inyin b'fnei atzmai. When the Torah says vayikoid and then vayishtochu, it's not two stages of the hishtachava. Rather, the Torah is writing it as a separate point. There's nesinus kavod al yidei kida. Just the fact that you bow your head, that's one sign of showing honor, that you bow your head. And then, v'lo yistapku b'zeh. Not only did he bow his head, and that wasn't enough to show that level of honor, additional honor was given that you bowed fully. So it's sort of two different levels of honor. The Torah is saying, vayikoid, he showed one level of honor, and he didn't stop there. He showed an even greater level of honor by bowing down. So now, the reason why Rashi skips, umad gish Rashi al yidei dilug inyan akido, when Rashi skips the kido, that stage of Moshe Rabbeinu bowing with his head, and it goes immediately, Rashi goes immediately to the fact that he fell to the ground, shevayimayir Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu did this in such a haste, at kidekach shekiilu lehoisa akida mitzis latzma, as if the bowing itself could not be separated at all, even though the bowing is one stage of showing honor, one concept of honor, and then the bowing is another, when he's fully to the ground, there's another honor, but Moshe Rabbeinu did it in such a haste, because the Shechina appeared that it seemed to be one act. He immediately threw himself to the ground. So this is Rashi L'shitasai, that Vayikoid refers to bowing the head. According to the Targum, that Vayikaid is that is one stage of the bowing, and Vayishtochu was another stage of the bowing. So the Torah is only writing it to clarify that Moshe Rabbeinu bowed in this way. There are two ways a person can bow, with kneeling or without kneeling, and the Torah is telling you how he bowed. Mashenken, according to Rashi, Vayikaid Vayishtochu, when you bow your head and then you bow completely to the ground, that happens automatically. When a person is going down all the way to the ground, it begins with his head coming down. Elamai, the Torah is separating it for the two stages of honor that you give in the Kiddah and then in the Ishtachavah. But over here, Moshe Rabbeinu did it in such a hurry that you couldn't distinguish between the two stages. He went immediately to the ground because of the great hurry that he did it in when the Shekhinah appeared. V'zui kavanas Rashi be'sofis miyad vayishtachu. This is another pshat why Rashi adds the word miyad. Besides what the Rebbe explained before, that miyad goes in the fact that it happened before the Eibishti even said the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim. After Vayimayir Pshita, even though Vayimayir is obvious that Moshe Rabbeinu does everything in a hurry, as we said before, Moshe Rabbeinu does everything with Rizus, the Pirusha Miyad, so it's Pshita, the Pirusha Miyad, it's obvious that Vayimayir means immediately. So why does Rashi have to say the word miyad? Va'avale lemeima kashiro chulu akriye hishtachve. Right then he bowed. Ki ritzoyin elahadgish miyad vayishtachu. Moshe Rabbeinu immediately bowed fully to the ground. Ki ilu believe vayikud arza. As if there was no vayikud there. As if that stage was skipped. There was that stage as well, as the Pasuk clearly says. There's two stages to showing the thanks. Or not in this case, it's not the thanks. It's the two stages of bowing and showing the honor for what happened over here. But it happened so fast, as if that stage of Ayikud was skipped. Because it happened as soon as the Eibishter himself appears, and when the king himself, Kemoishi he, as the Rebbe says before, appears to you, so then the person bows down immediately to the ground, and it seems like the first stage is being skipped. Yeino shal Teira bepirish Rashi delon. To see something deeper, al pichsidis, in the wording of Rashi here. Al pi anal yuvon, based on what we said before, we could understand. Why does Rashi specifically refer to the Eibishter with the term Shechina dafka? V'loy shem acher, and not any other name. Mavur b'tanya. The Alter Rebbe in Tanya says regarding the expression of Shechina. Shashchina nekras kein al shem shashichenes umislabeshes toich kol almen. That the Eibishter dwells and is enclosed the appearance and the revelation and the connection of the Eibishter within the worlds. So in our case, Ratza Moshe Leishtachava is Keshehu Royes Hashchina. Koidim Shavra, when the Eibishter is here and is enclosed and comes and is revealed to him, when he immediately, as he sees the presence of the Eibishter coming into the world, immediately Moshe Rabbeinu wants to bow. He's not going to wait until the Shechina leaves and is Bederech Makif and is high and is removed from him, the Raimimus of the Eibishter, then he's going to bow. But Adarab, as soon as the Shechina comes and is enclosed and appears in front of him, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu bows. L'chein, Niska Hashem, so therefore Rashi mentions the title, HaMoiral Shashichenes Toich Kol Almen, which implies the fact that Eibishter appears and comes to him in the world, which is the term Shechina.